नमो म्यो हो रेंगे क्यों, नमो म्यो हो रेंगे क्यों, नमो म्यो हो रेंगे क्यों। Hi friends, thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. Thank you for taking a moment to like and subscribe. It's a Bodhisattva act. Helps propagate and grow our Sangha. Yeah. You ever read a children's story? Or any story, really. Anything that has any kind of a lesson in it. We find ourselves, even if you, maybe you make them up, maybe you write them. But certainly when you read them, even if it's a cat in a hat, there are characters created in stories who exemplify certain characters, certain traits, right? Maybe it's a fisherman, but it's not just a fisherman. It's a fisherman who is a little grizzled by life, who tends to be or be perceived as grumpy, but he's really a likable, loving sort of person. But he has a rough exterior, right? You see more and more characteristics. And you start to build a picture of what that character is like in your story, in your book. And from that point on, you either can recognize in yourself moments or times in your life when you are like that grizzled old fisherman, and other times when you're nothing like that person. This is a personage. In other words, you've created a character with certain characteristics and behaviors, and that is a personage. It's a person with these certain parameters that they're kind of a container, a jar of the grizzled. You can pull them off the shelf in any story that you create. It's always the same character or personage. He represents, or she represents, a certain set of characteristics or aims or life condition, if you like. So this is a storytelling, an expedient means, right? It's a way of encapsulating certain ideas, behaviors, characteristics, tendencies, in a shorthand way, in a way of saying, okay, when you're thinking of dedication and that concept of in your life being dedicated, think of this particular personage that just to hear a few words from Shakyamuni Buddha offered all of the flesh of his body. Wow, what kind of commitment is that, that you're willing to go that far just to hear a few words? Wow, that's quite something, yeah? Not that you would do it, but that kind of resolve, confidence, dedication, you might say desire, but desire, it's a word we use differently in Buddhism, yeah? But you wouldn't be entirely wrong. It's just you're missing a nuance of commitment there that's not about having but experiencing. It's different. Okay, we won't get into hashing that out. Got myself into a corner there, sorry. But what we are going to talk about is personages today. And they're a predominant feature of Shakyamuni's 50 years or so of teaching. He taught this way as exemplars to get people to consider the mechanisms of their mind in their own lives, right? Personages. So that's our term for today in the Buddhism reference book. So I have three corollaries here at the top. Personages as a noun is a charismatic and formal noun, names or labels given to complex representations of practical human actions or beings as roles playing out in the mental exercises of the expedient means or stories of Buddhist teachings. Right? That would be your first group of words to conceptualize what is a personage, certainly to our practice of Buddhism anyway. Secondly, personages is a noun used by Shakyamuni to investigate the functions of the mind of samsara. Not just the mind, but the mind in the condition of samsara versus the mind state of Buddhaness via the bodhisattva life. Ah, there's a balance going on here. An example we see in almost all the sutras of here's this and here's this from an enlightened perspective, or right? Thirdly, identifiers of potential as ally or obstacle to enlightenment. So that's a real simple one. Sometimes personages are just very simple characters or mind states that we can point to, identify in the story as, oh, that's that kind of thinking, that kind of mind state, that kind of tendency is an obstacle toward enlightenment, or is a good friend, a proponent, a supporter of moving us toward enlightenment, right? So personages. All right. Buddhist scholarship consists of many teachings, commentaries, and treatises on the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha. These teachings contain a multitude of stories, examples, fables, and regional folklore designed to address Buddhist concepts and thinking while using familiar cultural and social ideas to aid local students to understand the new and unfamiliar ideas of Buddhist goals, insights, and practice. Right? This is going back in history now to 27 centuries ago when Shakyamuni was teaching. He had to teach to the people's capacity and the evolution of humankind at that time in history, right? Their conditions of life were different than yours and mine. And culturally, they had certain imperatives that were just from a very young age built into their reality, right? Since Buddhist teaching is about our mind of experience, much of the stories developed scenarios for mental exercises and thought experiments to explore insights and possibilities for the student mind, expedient means. In this effort, Shakyamuni would often create exemplars as invented persons or occurrences of enlightened persons and varied accomplished people on a path to enlightenment. Sometimes called emanations of Shakyamuni, these personages were exemplars of individual paths or mind states in various ways of being or presence or influence. Right? That's what I began this talk with. Also, since much of the local traditions were handed down from centuries of stories and religions, there was much hyperbole in the examples of the feats and abilities of deities and special characters whose legends were, of course, quite fanciful, right? Like, again, that example of cutting off one's flesh just like a post-it note to write some key words for enlightenment. It wasn't a literal story, but the idea of that kind of dedication, commitment, that's important. not the actual, right? Also, since much of the local traditions were handed down, as I said, therefore, the casual reader may be surprised to find extreme or unfathomable behaviors of the protagonists in many stories of the Buddhist canon simply due to this method of hyperbole in creating memorable fables or thought experiments to inspire deep insights in the student, right? But don't be confused. Just take a moment maybe to consider the depth of commitments that are being investigated, right? It's not just a casual story. There's a real profound effort for change in the Buddhist practice. It's not just mouthing words or copying behaviors. There's a internal fortitude that must be met. And this is a constant theme in the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, right? Nichiren exhorts us constantly, right? Even at some point saying, if your commitment can be, your resolve can be staunch enough, you'll do more with your resolve than you will with all the acts you can dream of. If when you chant your Daimoku to invoke Buddha-ness, and you set up your altar properly and you focus on myo and ho, potential instantiation, potential for Buddhahood, instantiating it now, namo myo ho renge kyo, with profound resolve, you'll do more to maintain the life condition and insights of your Buddha-ness than all sorts of worldly behaviors that you might occupy yourself with, right? It's so important to have that commitment, that conviction. So Nichiren talks about it all the time, and it's in all of the sutras, right? In today's educational methods, this device continues, as you may hear it, as a straw man setting up a certain scenario to make certain points of a teaching illustrated more clearly, right? Or fictional characters, as I've already talked about, to stand in for potential actions, accomplishments, and analysis. These personages can then stand in for entire lessons. Right? Like the boy who cried wolf. Do you need to know the whole story? Nope, you already know it. Right? So there's stand-ins for entire lessons, insights, modalities, life paths, concepts for study, and personal insights. Yes. Extensively used throughout the sutra, the Lotus Sutra contains a specific set of personages previously established, right, in frameworks of Buddhist teachings. An example is the downtrodden man who desperation for awakening was such that when he met the Buddha, he cut some skin from his body in order to take notes of even but a word from the Buddha. Right? I brought that example up already. Not to be taken literally, of course, this is to demonstrate that the will or commitment to attain enlightenment, not Shakyamuni, Buddha-ness, is of much greater value than even one's own skin. We find repeated examples of the vices of bodily pleasures as obstacle to our attainment of enlightenment throughout the teachings of Buddhism. Right? So now we're going to bring this back around to our modern practice of Nichiren, doctrine of the Lotus Sutra Buddhism, yes? Nichiren's mandala captures these essential teachings represented through these personages in calligraphic form to condense the teachings of the Lotus into one focused place of concentration for insight. Using the identifications of the personages in the Treasure Tower chapter of the Lotus Sutra, Nichiren was motivated to illustrate this very mandala. Please see Gohonzon and Opening of the Eyes in this very book. And in this way, the Nichiren mandala performs as our personal personage of Buddhahood via our mind's experiential shift from samsara to Buddhaness. See Gohonzon. Make sense? So personages aren't just some new word to understand expedient means and, oh, that's what's going on. For instance, where is it? Yeah. This book is available online right now. I think it's available as an ebook on threefoldrose.com as well as Lulu as a print book. But, you know, at sooner or later in your practice, somebody's going to ask, if you didn't, what are all these, you know, what are all these personages? What is going on that Gohonzon? Well, there's a map with numbers over each entry, and this is a collection of many things, and many thanks to my friend Michael. Why do I always forget his name? Anyway, it's in here. I give him credit for so much hysteresis on all of these characters. It's interesting to know the definitions of these personages. Some of them go back to Vedic things, writings, many, many years. And it's fascinating. It's interesting to know what's useful, though, about a book like that, is that once you start to understand, like the boy who cried wolf, if you saw the boy who cried wolf on a mandala, it would bring to mind that kind of mind, that kind of activity, that kind of cause-making, yes? A personage of a certain life condition. And so when we use Nichiren's mandala, we are peering at the entire story of the Lotus Sutra, the threefold Lotus Sutra, as well as some personal cultural iconography of Japanese Nichiren's day, like Hachiman. But if you learn about the story of Hachiman, it isn't strictly a Shakyamuni teaching, right? Because it happens long after he's extinct. But the story of Hachiman is yet another personage that Nichiren uses to exemplify Buddhist teachings. So yeah, that's on that mandala as well. That's why it's also important, since we're practicing Nichiren's doctrine of Shakyamuni's Lotus Sutra, that we understand this mandala's represent. The most important thing about this mandala, though, is the central feature. The treasure tower visually itself. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Which is the priority law of life, the engine of life. All of that other surrounds it as a support. All of the teachings supporting within the Lotus Sutra, the ceremony in the sky, which is what we exemplify, enact, participate in whenever we sit in front of our altar and use this mandala to penetrate our Gohonzon mind and experience Buddhaness. So, understand personages. It's a helpful tool. To understand it correctly is to not be misled by iconographies, because that's not what they are. They're conceptual frameworks to help remind us of all these potentials in the human mind, as we bring them, wrangling them all into one focus point of enlightenment. The Buddhaness of all realms, yes? 3,000 realms in a single thought moment. They're all, everything is working together here. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. When you like and subscribe, that's your first step of supporting our Sangha. If you can purchase ebooks, print books, make sure you have a proper mandala. Lots of free information. Please make use of it. All of this is to support your practice, to increase your confidence, right? Break down doubts. We don't need doubt. It gets in the way. How do you get rid of doubt? Information. So this channel, information, hundreds and hundreds of videos. Podcasts of these videos, free. The Buddhahood podcast, yeah. On threefoldlotus.com, yes, there's links to ebooks and print books on threefoldlotus.com, but there's also tons of free information. My own research is available there. Documents I've downloaded, so I make them available to you. Some of them aren't as current as I'd like them to be, but it's a big project to keep working on it. And your support helps that activity, like this book, happen. So, immeasurable gratitude to you and those of you who are able to support financially through Patreon or PayPal itself. You truly bodhisattvas of the earth. Thank you so much. And I will see you in the next one. Bye for now.